Good morning, We Talk Radio. Here we are to worship God. Here we are to bring forth ourselves as a sacrifice to worship Him. Here we are once again, as good as God has been to all of us, to be able to block out time and have uninterrupted fellowship with Him. Can we just take time out of our busy days and out of our busy schedules to just say, Lord, I am here to worship You. I am here to bow down. I am here to seek You, because when I seek You, You begin to speak. When I seek, You speak. Can we just take time out to just give God holy, uninterrupted fellowship? That is what God needs from all of us. That is what God expects from all of us. Here we are to be a sacrifice unto Him. I want to thank our brother Titus Glenn for ushering us into another word on today here with song and praise. And I just want to thank him for all that he's doing. And I want to thank all of you that are tuning in with us on this morning here. I just want to thank y'all for tuning in with us. And I just want to do one thing here. If we have any sound issues or any technical issues, just bear with us. We're going to get it right. Because let me tell you something, when things are going great, when everything is going the way God needs it to go, the enemy is not going to break in to an empty home. Okay, so if we have anything here, that's just the world of social media. That's the world of technology. Things happen. And if things happen here, we're just going to unplug and do what we have to. So just bear with us here as we try to bring things on here. I think we're back. Can y'all hear us? Give me a thumbs up. Can y'all hear us now? All right, sounds good. We as I was saying here, when God is moving, ladies and gentlemen, when God is doing something, the enemy is not going to break into an empty home. So I'm going to be doing some control management here just to make sure, because here's one thing that we know what the Word of God says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. He's not going to mess with the visual aspect of what we do. He wants to affect your hearing, okay? So everything that we do, if I have to repeat myself, if we have to stop or whatever we have to do, that's what we're going to do, because the most important thing for all of us is to hear the Word of God. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. Again, I want to thank our brother Titus Glenn for bringing us in for song and praise as we get ready for our word on today. And again, I just want to thank all of y'all for spending a small segment of your Sunday morning just tuning in with us and listening to what God has to say to you. If you tuned in, whatever you tune in, I do want to say this to you. It is not by accident that you're here. This is a revelatory word from God that is going to be, let me just say this, demons are going to flee and someone is going to be set free. Okay, demons are going to flee, and I'm here to tell you right now, somebody is going to be set free. Okay, because what I want us to understand is there's these things that happen to us in our lives. There are these things that stand in the way of our path. There are these things that come, and remember, the enemy comes to kill, steal, destroy, and he wants to serve as a roadblock on the beaten path of your life. And these things that I want to talk about on today are called mountains. Mountains. When I say mountains, obviously we know that mountains are geographical. We know that mountains, when you think of mountains, you think of them from the geographical perspective, because this is what we know them to be. In fact, a mountain is a landform that rises high above its surroundings. Taller than a hill, it usually has steep slopes and a rounded or a sharp peak. This is what mountains are. Now, there are different types of mountains, and depending on what region that you're in or where you've seen them, there are different types of mountains. There are the Rocky Mountains. There are mountains in some of the more desert areas of our regions. And every continent has its own form of mountains. Some mountains are covered with trees, and Some are green, and depending on where you are and the region that you're in, they're going to be different types of mountains. Some are tall and steep. Some are more rounded, and some are wide. But mountains come in different shapes and different sizes. Now, mountains are the largest forms of landmass, and they are a challenge to try and climb. They represent a challenge to try and overcome. We've heard of the different stories where some people, they will literally risk their lives to try to climb Mount Everest. And as you can see, this photo of Mount Everest right there, Mount Everest, for instance, it is known, as you can see at the very top, it's known to be steps to heaven. It is known to be one of the very largest and highest land masses in our world. It is about 30,000 feet above sea level. And people literally risk their lives to climb to the tip, to the top of Mount Everest. And just to give us a little more perspective on how high that is, last night, as my wife and I were flying back into North Texas, the captain, the pilot came on and said, when we reach our peak elevation, we will be at 37,000 feet. 37,000 feet is about where the peak of a commercial airplane will fly. So if Mount Everest is about 30,000 feet, just imagine the challenge that Mount Everest will present to us to try and climb. In essence, mountains are very unique. In fact, they have a lot of significance. I'm going to shift and transition just a bit. Mountains have a lot of significance in the Bible. As a matter of fact, it was Mount Sinai where Moses received two stone slabs called the Ten Commandments. It was on Mount Moriah where Abraham was going to sacrifice his son Isaac. Okay, it was on Mount Ararat where Noah's Ark had landed after the great flood had filled up the earth. He landed on Mount Ararat to keep his family and everything that he had safe while the waters receded. And we know that it was the Mount of Olives where Jesus prayed before the crucifixion. And this is the place that he also was where he ascended after he rose again, where he ascended back into heaven. But mountains, ladies and gentlemen, are not always in favor for the people of God. As a matter of fact, the great prophet Ezekiel mentions in the book of Ezekiel that it was a mountain where Satan's headquarters were when he ruled at the time before the day of Adam. Mountains are geographical, and they can also be used figuratively as it relates to challenges and obstacles in our lives. And ladies and gentlemen, here's one thing that I want to say to all of us. If we're just being honest with ourselves, we can all have mountains to face in our lives. These are called personal mountains. These are called personal mountains. And just for a few moments, I want to talk briefly about Jesus' teaching to the disciples about what to do when we face our personal mountains. Now, before we get into the word and before we exegete the word of God, one thing that I do want to mention is I want to give us just a little bit of background of the setting of this teaching. And I want us to have a little bit more understanding and more in-depth clarity so we can understand the word of God and how to apply it into our lives. So I want us to just imagine that we're walking with Jesus to this place called Jerusalem. It's Jesus and the 12 disciples, and This is the first time that he's going to this place called Jerusalem. And as he's walking along his path, Jesus had developed a hunger. He was hungry, y'all. And we don't think about that sometimes. We forget that Jesus was human. As he came, as the word became flesh, Jesus experienced everything that we experience. So in this particular time, he was hungry. He was about his father's business, but he had developed an appetite. And so as they were walking, I could see the smile on Jesus' face because he lit up and goes, "Hey, I see a fig tree right there." It was in full bloom, and even though it was out of season, it was in full bloom. And full bloom from a fig tree means that there should be some figs that have produced. Because at this point in time, if it was in full bloom, then that means there was something to pick off of the fig tree. But as he got closer, he began to see, hey, you're in full bloom, but there's nothing coming from you. As a matter of fact, you're not producing. So in other words, what I want us to understand is there is something that Jesus is saying to all of us. Now, this is not the title of the message, but there is always messages within the message, and you can be in full bloom but not be productive. How many of us know or have been in seasons and situations in our lives where we appear to be in full bloom, but there's nothing coming from our tree? So as Jesus walks upon and he sees this fig tree, there is nothing coming from the fig tree. There are no figs. So Jesus, thinking ahead, because he's all knowing and all thinking, he walks past the tree and realizes that there's nothing to pick off of it. There's nothing that can be produced from it. There were no seeds to be planted or no seeds coming from the tree at all. So he cursed it. He cursed the tree. And as they were walking to Jerusalem, he just cursed the tree. And he kept moving along their path. Now, what I want us to understand is that after they were in Jerusalem, they came back past that same path. They took the same path and they passed that same tree. And Peter happened to notice as he was walking by, Peter happened to do a double take and say, "Hey, Rabbi," because Rabbi means teacher. "Hey, Rabbi, there's the tree that you cursed. Look at it. It's withered." And this is where we are right now, because they're coming back. And they've realized that Jesus did something. And when he cursed a tree, maybe they didn't take it serious. Maybe they didn't understand. But the reason why Jesus chose Peter, because Peter had a great sense of awareness. Peter was the one that recognized, "Rabbi, that tree that you cursed is now withered." I want to talk about Peter for a quick second, because this setting has to do with everything that Peter revealed. Peter was also the guy, if you remember, Peter was also the guy that when they were on the Sea of Galilee and they saw this image coming towards us, all the other disciples were terrified and they thought it was a ghost. But it was Peter, with the spiritual revelation that he had, says, "This is Jesus. And as a matter of fact, Lord, since this is you, bid me to come out and join you on the sea." Another thing about Peter at the time when he was Simon, before he was given the name of Peter, Jesus asked a question. He says, "Who do they say that I am?" And then he turns it back onto the disciples and said, "That's great. But who do you say I am?" As you remember, we call that the Great Survey. And it was the recognizing, the spiritual recognizing of Peter that says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the Holy God." So now Peter again, and his great recognizing, spiritual recognizing abilities that he had, began to realize that tree that you cursed is now withered. So as we lay the foundation of our message on today here, we're going to talk about where Jesus responded to Peter during this time here. And I want us to go into the book of Mark, in Mark chapter 11 here. He's going to respond to Peter in verse 22, because this is Jesus responding to Peter. And I want us to understand, he's not just talking to Peter, but he's using this as a teaching moment to all of the disciples. And let us read here in Mark 11 and 22 to 23. I'm coming from the NIV, the New International Version of this text. And it says, Peter just said, Rabbi, this tree, you cursed it. And Jesus goes, have faith in God. Jesus answered. That was his response. Have faith in God. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt it in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. It will, in fact, be done for them. Ladies and gentlemen, our message, as you see the slide up on this morning, is speak to your mountain. Amen. Our word on today is called speak to your mountain. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Father God, for being in the midst of all of our lives, Lord Jesus. You dropped in my spirit that there are some mountains that we are facing in our lives. And your word on today is going to reveal some things. It's going to expose some things. Somebody is going to be set free and somebody is going to receive the tools that they need to continue to do what you've called for them to do despite the mountains in their lives. Lord, I just pray that you give us this word, that it comes forth in full clarity and conciseness with conviction and with all the tools that we need to apply them into our lives, Heavenly Father, to be able to go forth and to be the disciples that you need for us to be, Lord. I thank you for every ear, for every focused heart, for every determined spirit that wants to pull the fruit from your word, Father God, and use it according to our purpose and for your glory in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your purpose. We thank you for your glory. We thank you for your word on today in the name of Jesus. We love you and we thank you. Amen. Amen and amen. I just want to thank y'all. And again, I just want to let you know, we'll be watching the sound waves and make sure that if the sound goes out, I'm going to stop and make sure we got sound, because faith comes by hearing and hearing from the word of God. So if I'm the devil, guess what I am going to try to do? I'm going to make sure that there is a problem with sound. I don't want the people of God to grow so I can affect what they hear. He does it in technical ways. He does it in distraction ways. He does it in all kinds of ways to disrupt your hearing from God. But I thank God for having a ram in a bush, and we're going to make sure that the word is crystal clear. So if we happen to lose sound, don't disconnect. Don't move on. Trust me, we're going to get it right, and we're going to finish what God has for us to do. Amen and amen. Just a little bit of housekeeping. Now, y'all, this is church. Things happen in church, okay? But one thing that we want to make sure is that the word goes forth and that you hear the word. The most important thing is hearing the word of God. Amen? Amen. All right. So Mark 11:23, I'm going to read that again before we get into the meat and potatoes of our word. Okay. And it says, Jesus responding to Peter, but yet talking to all of the disciples, he said, have faith in God. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and does not doubt it in their hearts, but believe that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Now, let's pick up from right there. Let's pick up from right there, because God has an amazing word for us on today. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as we read this text, we shall notice the very first thing that Jesus says is to first have faith in God. The first thing he says is for us to have faith in God. Not to have faith in our abilities or anything else, but to put all of our faith in God. 100% of it. Now I could technically end this message right here, because having faith in God, that's all that you need. But here's a slide that I want to share with us on this morning, because everything begins with having faith in God. Everything, it begins with having faith in God. When you accept him, you have to accept him by faith. Everything that you do related to the word of God and to God's purpose and plans that he has for your life, it all begins with faith. Faith is the foundation, and without it, it's impossible to please God. It's the foundation, and without it, it's impossible to please God. Now I want us to understand here, and I want to say that one more time, because it's something about the number three, and it really resonates into our spirit. As a matter of fact, we're going to put that slide up because I want y'all to really get this on this morning here. And I'm going to say it one more time. Eric, let's put the slide up here on this morning. Faith is the foundation, and without it, it is impossible to please God. I'm going slow for a reason, because I want to make sure that we get this word. And I want to make sure that we understand what God needs for us to understand. It's the foundation. And what is a foundation? A foundation is where things are built on top of. You build everything that God needs for you to build from a foundation of faith. This is why Jesus' response to Peter and the disciples was, have faith in God. And so this is what Jesus wants them to understand. And this means that when he cursed that fig tree, he cursed it by having faith in God. And what God wants us, ladies and gentlemen, to understand is that Jesus came to be a role model of faith for all of us. This is why he came. This is what the abundant life is all about. It's a life that's built on the foundation of faith. And if we're going to have faith in God, then we have to understand we have to have a foundation of faith. That's what this is all about. Okay, so he wanted to make sure that they first understood that in that response to Peter about cursing of the fig tree. And then in verse 23, Jesus changes the narrative from the fig tree to the mountain. Okay, from the fig tree to the mountain. If there was maybe another name that I could have maybe given this sermon on today, it could have been from the fig to the mountain. Because he changes the narrative. And the reason why Jesus did this is because he's telling them if. And this means if you decide to do so, because it is a choice. If anyone says to this mountain, he goes from fig tree to the mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and does not doubt in their heart, but believe what you will say. Here's what he wants you to understand on this morning here. It will be done for you. If there is a then. If then there is a then. If you believe, then it will be done for you. Now, I just have a question here because we're reading this. And as we're reading this, I want us to understand. Now, is there anybody out there that's glad to know? And I want to know from you here. Put it in the chat. Do whatever you have to do. Give me some likes or shares or whatever that you can. All right. I want to know, is there anybody out there that's glad to know that it will be done for you? I want you to understand what I want you to understand. It will be done for you. You are the vehicle that brings it into fruition. As a matter of fact, I was on an airplane last night sitting across the aisle from this lady, and she had a little 8-month-old baby, and we were talking and she goes, and I said, this is going to be a great flight. And she says to me, I want you to manifest that. She goes, I want to manifest that. And when she said that to me, and I'm working on my sermon on the airplane here, it just lit me up, because that was this word call. It was spoken, and then there was a manifestation. This lady didn't know me from Adam, but I've learned how to hear God in every area of my life, because life is a sermon. Life is an application of teaching. Life, if you just open your eyes and understand everything that's going on around you, God is speaking in a lot of different ways. And when she specifically used the word manifest that this was going to be a safe flight, I lit up on the inside. Because here's what I want you to know is that when the word of God is saying it shall be done for you, I kind of put that into another context of if you're in a hotel and you're staying in this hotel, there is cleaning services that if you request them, nowadays you got to request them some, they come automatically unless you tell them not to. But there are cleaning services that are expected to come from what we know and understand about hotels and how their service works. So when you leave your room, you come back with an expectation. Because you expect the bed to be made. You expect the bathroom to be straightened up and dirty towels to be thrown out and all of those things. You come back with an expectation. Why? Because it will be done for you. This is the kind of faith that God wants us to know and to understand that we must have when it comes to speaking to things, and particularly mountains. You have to know that the quote unquote cleaning service is doing what it has to do to be done for you. You don't have to worry about the how. Your job is just to believe that it's already done. The how is none of your business or your focus. The believing is where it all begins. And it's also where it ends. All you have to know is that it's already done. All you have to know is that my job is just to believe once I speak it. My job is to know that when I turn back around and come back to this thing, I'm going to walk past that fig tree again and see that it's withering. I'm going to see that it's shrinking. Come on, Holy Spirit. I'm going to see that there is some evidence that this thing is being moved out of my path, and all I had to do was use the power of my tongue to speak it. I don't have to try to figure out how. I don't have to try to do it myself. Come on, Holy Spirit. I don't have to try to manufacturing the moving of this mountain or try to do anything on my own. I just got to believe that it's already done. I've got to know that if God says it in his word, that's what I stand on. I've got to know that if I just have enough faith to know that the cleaning service is happening and when I return back, I'm going to see the situation with it. Come on now, Holy Spirit. I have to know that it's already done. And my job is just to be the vehicle to bring it into manifestation. Just like the lady told me on the airplane. What a revelation from God. That is the real heartbeat of the message right there. But I got a few other things that I want to share with us, because this is what Jesus did here in this word. And what he did was he wanted to use a small practical example to teach this lesson. Something they could relate to. Because remember, faith to faith, glory to glory, Jesus starts with small things and then he turns them into so you can see the larger of things. See, what he did was he used something that they could relate to. Hallelujah. He used something as simple as a fig tree that when they came back, they could already see that it was done. He was teaching them, ladies and gentlemen, about faith. He was teaching them to be able to know and to expect that it's done once you speak it. Okay, so he did this so that he could show that this deceitful tree that was bearing no fruit at all, that it would never be used again. So how did he do it? He spoke it by faith. He spoke it by faith. And as you see the next slide up here on this morning, I'm trying to contain myself because I'm ready to jump out of my shoes. What I want us to understand in Mark 11 and 14, what he says to the tree specifically is, may no one ever eat from you again. If it's not serving a purpose, it serves no purpose. If it's not serving a purpose, it serves no purpose. I'm going to say that one more time for those y'all know sitting way in the back. If it's not serving a purpose, it serves no purpose. By faith, ladies and gentlemen, he spoke this into existence by having all of the belief that it shall happen. Jesus knew when he walked back past there, he didn't look at the tree because he knew that it was already done. But he was teaching the disciples that this was already done. He was being a role model of faith for the disciples. And he wanted them to understand, you've got to know the power of your tongue when you speak something into the existence. I have given it to you. When I ascended into heaven, all authority was given to me. And if you accept me, you share in that authority to me. You better learn how to speak into your situation. Once the disciples were able to see and understand that it had come to pass, he then said, now, this is what you do to your mountain. If you saw it done to a fig tree, you can now do the same thing to your mountain. Family, this is what I mean when I say from the fig tree to the mountain. And this is what Jesus wants us to understand. See, here, let me give y'all a fresh revelation here. Let me let y'all in on some little conversations that God and I have sometimes. Let me just kind of share this to you. There were some times, if you read in your Bible in the New Testament, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of the red print is Jesus and what he spoke. Four disciples, they had four different versions of what they saw and experienced with Jesus. But let me hip you to something here. And I want to challenge 10 of y'all to go tell 10 folks this revelation right now. 10 of y'all to go tell somebody, if you're on YouTube, Facebook, I don't care where you are. All right. Website, Soil Church, everything here. I want to challenge y'all to see. Here's the deal. If you read and study the word of God, there were times where Jesus prayed. But then there were also times where Jesus just spoke. When he was teaching, he spoke. When he needed to pull on the Father, he prayed. When he said, Father God, remove this cup from me, he prayed. When he held up and feeding the 5,000 men, and it was more than that, he held up and he blessed it up to God. But when he was doing things to teach a lesson, he spoke. And what I want us to understand here is let's put up a slide, because I want you to understand this revelation on this morning here. God may not want you to pray your mountains away. He may want you to speak your mountains away. Let that sit there and soak and marinate just for a little bit, because I am now going to challenge your belief system and what you think you should be doing. But the reason why God has pastors and teachers and leaders to bring something new into the revelatory word of God on today here is he wants us to understand sometimes things ain't happen because we're praying. What? What did he just say? Yeah, sometimes things aren't happening because we're praying. Put it back on me, Eric, because I want them to see and understand this here. I want us to understand this here. Sometimes you're too busy praying. But the Bible says, pray without ceasing. I get that. But Jesus said, you've got to speak to your mountain. And if you speak and tell it where to go, this is where it can happen. There is a time when you need to pray. But then there's a time when you just need to speak. Maybe this mountain that's in your path right now won't move because you're too busy praying. And God has given you a word on today that you need to speak to it. You need to speak to it, okay? So this is what I want you to understand. He may not want you to pray your mountain away. He may want you to speak your mountain away. This may be why God ain't answering that prayer. He may want to manifest the healing and deliverance from this mountain by you, by speaking to it. What do I mean by that? In the storm of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus was able to sleep with peace. The disciples were losing their mind because the ship was about to capsize and everything was happening on this ship here. Jesus didn't pray to the Father. What did Jesus do? He spoke to the storm. And when he spoke to the storm, he specifically said, peace be still. Amen. He didn't get down and pray, oh, heavenly Lord Jesus. No, because there are times, ladies and gentlemen, where you don't have time to pray. There are times when something may be going on in your life and there's this mountain standing big and bold right in front of you. You may not have an opportunity to our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. There are some times where you're going to have to speak something away. There are some times where you just have to be able to speak, Heavenly Father, move this storm. Or you speak directly to the storm and say, peace, be still. This is what I want us to understand on today, because the storm, listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, the storm had to obey the faith of Jesus. And it had to be still. The storm didn't have a choice. It was under submission of the power of the tongue combined with the faith of Jesus. It had to be still. Whether it wanted to or not, it had to be still. The storm had to obey his faith. And I want you to understand, as we put our next slide up on this morning here, do you realize the power of your tongue combined with a strong faith commands obedience? Do you realize that? Do you realize the power of your tongue combined with strong faith? Guess what? It commands obedience. We've got to know we've got some commanding power. We've got to understand that we've got the power to do some things. We got to understand something. This is what God wants his people, ladies and gentlemen, to know and to understand. Jesus is telling us to speak to the obstacles in our path and with confidence and authority to know that it's already done. We've got another slide that we're going to put up here on this morning. The Holy Spirit is definitely showing out this morning here. What mountain is in your path that needs a good spoken to? What mountain is serving in your path that needs a real good spoken to? The fig tree was in the path of Jesus, and the mountains in your life are in your path. The only reason why they are mountains is because it's where you're trying to go. A mountain has no relevance and it has no significance unless it's in your way. Other than that, from a distance, oh, they're so beautiful. Oh, my God, all this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But let that thing stand in your way. Now you think differently about that mountain. You know how it is when you got little babies in the family and I love little babies and all that. But after a while, they got to go back home. Right. But when that baby, when this is your home, now you got to deal with the 2 o'clock in the morning, midnight crying and all that kind of stuff, because now it hits differently. When that mountain is in your path, it hits differently. What mountain is in your path that needs a good speaking to? Because again, the fig tree was on the path of Jesus. And I want you to understand something here. We all have a journey in our life. That's what life is all about. It's a journey. And we're all walking our path to this place called destiny. This place called destiny. However, some of the lanes in our path, they come with mountains, and these mountains can serve as disruptors in our path. They can serve as disruptors in our path. Y'all better like this page. Y'all better share this page, and you better tell 10 people. They better tune in and get this word. I'm going to challenge all of you. What situations or problems are in your path that has positioned themselves as mountains in your life? Where did they come from? How did they get here? How did this mountain just show up? Let me bring it home and make this a little bit more practical so we can understand what I mean by mountain. Let me rephrase what I just asked you. What addictions or strongholds are in your path that has positioned themselves as mountains in your life? Okay, what sicknesses or diseases are in your path that has positioned themselves as mountains in your life? What lifestyles or people are in your path that have positioned themselves as mountains in your life? Whatever your mountain is, speak to it. And here's the deal. You tell it where to go. You speak to it and you tell it where to go. Jesus said, tell the mountain to throw yourself into the sea. Guess what? That mountain can hear. You're speaking to the situation at hand. Do y'all know your situations can hear? Do you know that obstacles that are in your life can hear? When Jesus spoke to the storm, Jesus was speaking to who manufactured the storm. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to destroy your path and destroy you from going down your path. So let's get real about this. This is all about the enemy. That situation that's in your life can hear. Demons hear the name of Jesus and they tremble. Do you understand the power that you have? What I want you to understand is you can tell the mountain where to go. Jesus is figuratively saying for the mountain to go, bury itself and get out of its way. He told the storm again, I say, to be still. Here's another thing he did. Looking at Peter, when Peter was trying to talk Jesus out of, here's that word, his path, going to the cross, doing what he needed to do. And Peter was like, no, Rabbi, no. Jesus spoke to him and he said, he told Satan, get behind me. He didn't pray and say, oh, Father. No. He said, get behind me, Satan. Amen. This is what he's saying for us to do. Anyone or anything that got in his way, Jesus told it where to go. He told it where to go. If your mountain is sickness, by faith, tell it where to go. If your mountain is sex addiction, by faith, tell it where to go. If your mountain is debt, by faith, tell it where to go. If your mountain is fear, by faith, you tell it where to go. Okay? If your mountain is lust, by faith, you tell it where to go. If your mountain is finance, by faith, you tell it where to go. Here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen, that I want you to understand. Whatever your trial, tribulation, or situation is, whatever that stronghold is, that is serving as the mountain in your life. You use the power that Jesus says that you have, and by faith, you speak to it and tell it where to go. You've got that kind of power. You've got that kind of authority. You've got that kind of obedience from God, and you are in position to tell your mountain to go throw itself into the sea. Can somebody out there just give God a hand praise to know that you've got the power to speak mountains out of your situation? You've got the power to speak life into your situation. You've got the power, and you hold that power within to stand bold and look at that mountain and say, get out of my way. I've got a race to run. I've got a path to follow. I've got a destiny to achieve. I need you to just stop right now and speak to your mountain. Say, mountain, I need you to move. Mountain, get out of my way. Come on, let's say it now. Mountain, go throw yourself into the sea. Mountain, today is your last day. I need you to get out of my way. I need you to step out of my path. I need you to move to the side. I've got a place to go. I've got God on my side. And by faith, I tell you to get out of my way. And ladies and gentlemen, you tell it where to go. You tell that mountain where to go. Don't you stand timid no more, walking on eggshells, when you've got the power from the Holy Spirit to tell your mountain where to go. Whatever your trial is, you tell it where to go. Whatever your tribulation is, you tell it where to go. Whatever your situation is, you tell it where to go, and you stand bold, flat-footed, and look at that mountain and say, get out of my way. Yes. Because I've got a path on my life.
Hallelujah.
I've got a path on my life. Now, let me tell you something. Some of us might not be sure, as I get ready to close here, you may not be sure to exactly say what to say to your mountain. You might not be sure. But let me tell you something. As I'm sweating like T.D. Jakes in the fourth quarter right now, let me tell you something, okay? I've got great news for you. Because it's already in the Word of God. What you say is in the Word of God. This is why it's important for you to study the Word, to show yourself approved. Approved to what? Speak to your mountain. To speak to your mountain. And here's what I mean by that, okay? Because let me give you an example. If your mountain is someone that is constantly verbally abusing you and saying that you ain't gonna never be nothing in your life, let me tell you something. You speak Jeremiah 29 and 11 to that mountain, which says, God knows the plans that he has for me. Plans to prosper me and not to harm me. Plans to give me a hope in the future. Now, mountain, get out of my way and go throw yourself into the sea. That's how you do this thing. This is why we call on the Word of God, okay? If your mountain, here's the deal. If your mountain is that you lack in self-confidence and you don't think you're good enough to finish the job or the task at hand that's been assigned to you, you speak Philippians 4 and 13 to this mountain, which says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's how you do that. And mountain, because of that, get out of my way. I've got to move forward, okay? All right, this is what you do. If your mountain, ladies and gentlemen, if your mountain is that you're dealing with sickness or disease, and it seems like there is no end in sight, that they have written you off, they have written your obituary, they are ready to start planning your funeral, whatever that is, and you say to this mountain, wait a second, hold on a second. Isaiah 53 and 5 says that, and by his stripes I am healed, okay? This is what you say to your mountain. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why it's important for you to take time to learn the word of God, because the word of God has something to say about your life. The word of God has something to say with your life. Let me do something here because, yeah, I understand that when the word of God is going forth, the enemy wants to do some things, okay? The enemy wants to distract. Yeah, see, this is confirmation that the word of God is doing what it needs to do. This is confirmation that the word of God, because the enemy does not break in to know empty house. I'm going to say all that again for those sitting in the back that might have heard the sound go out. Let me say this again. If you ain't sure what to say, and I'm going to say it again because I want to make sure y'all get this here. If you don't know what you need to say, you speak the word of God. You speak the word of God. You can speak Jeremiah 29:11 because God has plans for you. Okay. You can speak Philippians 4:13. Okay. Which says you can do all things through Christ. Okay. You can speak Isaiah 53:5, which says that by his stripes, you are healed. You speak to your mountain, the word of God. You speak to your mountain the word of God, and this is why it's important for you to learn what the word of God has to say about your life. About your life. What is the Bible all about? It's about my life. It's about my life. It's about my life in Jesus. It's about my life in Jesus. And here's a slide that I want to put up here on this morning that says, there is a scripture in the Bible for every mountain. There ain't a mountain out there, I don't care how big, what size, what shape, or whatever it is, there is a mountain that has a scripture to speak against it. There is a scripture for every mountain. And I want you to know that and understand it, okay? I know they're large. I know it seems like that you can't see around it. You can't see over it. I understand all of that. But here's what I want you to understand here. It seems like it's difficult to overcome. All right. But I know what the mountain looks like and what it seems like. But let me tell you about what Jesus said. Jesus said to take heart, because guess what he's done? He has come to overcome the world. He said to take heart. I know that in this world you will have mountains, he said. I know in this world you will have tribulations, he said. I know in this world it's going to seem like there is no end in sight. It is so big and there is nothing you can do about it. But he said to take heart. Because he has overcome the world. So from now on, ladies and gentlemen, as I get ready to close, whenever your situation, okay, whatever mountain that you're faced with in your life, you speak to that mountain and you tell it where to go. Because guess what? You've got the power to do so. All right? You've got the power. You hold the key. You hold the ignition. You hold the fuel that you need to tell that mountain where to go. Now, let me tell you this right now. This is about to bless your socks off. You better call somebody and tell them they need this note in their life. I want you to look at this next slide right here and keep, oh, if you got to shout, shout. If you got to run around your living room, let me tell you something here. Don't tell God about your mountains. Tell your mountains about your God. How about that now? Hallelujah on somebody here. I'm going to say that again. I'm telling y'all, the Holy Spirit is moving on this morning. Don't tell God about your mountains. He already know about them. You tell your mountains about your God.
Hallelujah.
You tell your mountains about your God because your mountain has to submit to what you speak.
Yes, Lord.
Your mountain, you've got the power to tell your mountain where to go. And as I get ready to close, y'all remember our theme from last year, the power within. Let's take a look at what Ephesians 3:20 tells you about the power that's on the inside of you. Paul is telling us right here. Now unto him, who? Jesus, that God had cursed the fig tree. That God is telling you to speak to your mountain. That God had walked on water. That God had rose on the third day. Okay. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power. That power of your tongue, that power of your mind, that power that he has given you, the power that works within us. I needed to remind us, ladies and gentlemen, that we've got some power. I needed to remind us the authority that we have. I'm going to challenge you to, when you go to work tomorrow, you walk in authority. Like that job, that company is open because you walk through the door. Okay, that school is prospering because you walk through the door. Okay, because everything that you do, your family is alive and healthy today because you are on the family. Okay, that team is winning and successful because you own the team. You've got some authority and you've got the power. And ain't no mountain in this world that can overdo the power that God has given you. Okay, because what I want you to understand as I get ready to put this next slide up on this morning is what I want you to understand is you have to use the word of God and the power of your tongue to speak death to your mountain and life to your blessing. Okay, you use the word of God and the power of your tongue to speak death to your mountain and life to your blessing. So I'm going to ask you to do something, ladies and gentlemen, as I get ready to close. I'm going to get out. Matter of fact, I'm coming out in my coat this morning here. Excuse me as I get ready to knock some things. I told you I'll get a little bit happy here. Some things just going to have to get knocked down. Let me ask you to do something on this morning. Let me ask you to do something with me on this morning. I'm asking you to join me. Okay, join me as we face mountains. Yeah, I'm sorry, little plant right here, all right? It's all good here. Join me as we face mountains. My wife is cracking up right about now, y'all. I want you to have this, though, y'all. I want y'all to have this. Have a more than conqueror mindset because you are more than a conqueror. Have a more than a conqueror mindset on the mountain that's in front of you. Don't get intimidated by the mountain, okay? Don't look at how tall and how big it is or whatever the case. You look at that thing with a more than a conqueror mindset. That's what I want you to do here. Because that mountain that has stood in your way is already defeated if you just use the tool that God has given you. Amen. What mountain has stood in your way? What mountain has gotten the absolute best of you? Okay? What mountain has caused your faith to weaken? Okay? And what mountain has caused your foundation to be shaken? Whatever your mountain is, what I want you to understand is you tell it wherever to go. You tell it wherever it needs to go. If it needs to go to the sea, if it needs to get out of your way or whatever, you tell it where to go. You tell it where to go. It has to submit and obey to you. And here's the deal. You believe 100% with what you say, and it will happen. Brother Titus Glenn, bring us with a song on this morning.
Hallelujah.
For every mountain in our life, for every mountain in our life, what I want us to understand this morning, you will never see a mountain the same again. You have to understand what Jesus said to you and what to do to that mountain. Somebody's mountain out there this morning, you've been struggling with having to have a life with God in your life. You've been struggling. That's been a mountain for you. You've had lifestyles. You've had ups and downs. You've been on the fence. And just dedicating your life to God has been your mountain. But I want you to speak to whatever that is that's keeping you from having the full relationship with the Lord that you know you're supposed to have. You know that he has called you according to his purpose and his glory. And you know that if you would just separate yourself from all distractions and everything that wants to hold on to you, your life could elevate and go to another level. But that mountain is standing in your way right now on today. I want to say a prayer for you, because right now this word is going to free you. This word is going to free you. Heavenly Father, for that person, that man, that woman, that child, whoever they are, Lord, that has that mountain in their life, Father God. Lord, help us to know and to understand your word is real. Your word, Lord Jesus, can conquer everything. You said to take heart because you have overcome this world. There ain't a mountain too high. There ain't a valley too low. There is nothing that can keep people that love you from loving you. Lord, we thank you because your love, it conquers everything. You said the love conquers a multitude of sins, and that includes mountains. And I thank you that your love, Lord Jesus, can rise above every mountain in our life. And your love will never stop you from loving us. Lord, somebody out there just doesn't think that you would open their arms. They think that whatever they've done, whatever lifestyle they've had, that you can never say yes to them. But I come to speak deaf into that mountain. You go throw yourself into the sea. The Lord's arms are still open for whoever you are on today. And I just need you right now, whoever you are, to repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Lord, thank you for removing mountains out of my life. Thank you for loving me despite my mountains. Thank you for giving me another chance. Lord, I believe that you died and that you rose on the third day above all mountains. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that your love welcomes me back into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer on today, I want to let you know that mountain is gone and it's buried under the sea. And the Lord, his arms are open for you. His arms are stretched out wide, and he wants to love you with a love that you've never received in your life before. And for those of you that received this word on today, you are going to now stand bold. You ain't going to walk on eggshells when you see mountains in your life. Amen. You're going to speak to those mountains, and you're going to step to them with full command and authority, letting them know you've got to go.
Hallelujah.
What a revelatory word on today. And I want to thank y'all for tuning in with us on today. I want to spend a special thanks to our brother Titus Glenn that's been blessing us with song and praise. And I especially want to thank all of you that have been tuning in, getting the fruit, the seeds, the application, and everything that God has for you to receive to grow in him. As y'all can see, this ministry is going places. As y'all can see, God is elevating and doing amazing things. As y'all can see, just continue to keep tuning in, okay? Continue to keep liking and sharing. Just continue to keep doing it, because let me tell you something. The eyes have not seen and ears have not heard of the wonderful things that God has for those who love him. And I want to thank y'all for everything that you do here. We're going to ask you to give from the heart on today. You know this word was revelatory. You know this word was life-changing. I feel a lighting of the spirit. I feel that there's been some I feel in my spirit mountains have been moved. I just feel it. I sense it in the atmosphere that mountains have been moved right now. So the sun is starting to come out in your situation. Clouds are beginning to part. And you now realize that you hold the key and you have everything here. I want you to give from the heart. Whatever God tugs on your heart to give, I want you to give. The Bible says, give and it shall be given back to you. Okay? If you receive this word, tell God, Lord, I thank you, and I'm going to put a seed on it. I'm going to put a seed on it. I'm going to walk in authority. I'm going to walk with the given spirit. I'm going to walk in knowing that I am the head and not the tail. I'm going to walk in the authority that you've told me to walk. Okay, so I want you to just give what's on your heart on today, whether that be a dollar, okay, whether that be $2. And I get so blessed that one of my nieces out there, I just want to call somebody out here for a little bit. She gives $1. My beautiful little niece, she gives $1. And I am so thankful for that because God loves the cheerful giver. And she gives just being cheerful. Now, well, I don't know what they're doing with the money, blah, 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 blah. See, that's the devil. That's a mountain. And you need to speak to that mountain. Tell that mountain you are alive from hell and go back to hell. I am going to give because God says for me to give. He said, blessed be the cheerful giver. If you want to be blessed, be cheerful about your giving. Let me pray over every mountain. Every mountain. That's right. Let me pray over every mountain right now. And let me pray over every sea. Heavenly Father, Lord, remove the mountains of anyone that has doubt about giving, Lord. People are going to give today that have never given, and they're going to see a move in their life like never before. Their mountain has been given. Their mountain has been just disbelief. Their mountain has been skepticism. And right now, that mountain has been destroyed. Mountain, I speak to you. I know you've got ears to hear me, and I am speaking to you. Go throw yourself into the sea because God's people are going to be free. How about that? Go throw yourself into the sea because God's people are going to be free. We're coming out of debt. That's right. We're coming out of strongholds. That's right. We're coming out of these mountains of sicknesses and diseases because we've got the power to speak to the mountains in our lives right now in the name of Jesus. And we're going to give because the Bible says give and it shall be given unto us. He says that he loves the cheerful giver. Okay. We're not going to just sit back and receive. We're going to do something. We're not going to be a fig tree that looks like we got leaves, but we are going to be productive. We are going to have figs. We are going to be used according to your purpose and your glory in Jesus' name, Lord. I speak over every seed right now because for every seed, there's a need and there's a need for every seed right now. I speak promotions. I speak health. I speak restoration. I speak broken branches of families coming back together. I speak just edifying. I speak new businesses. I speak all these things that are coming unto your people right now in the name of Jesus. Somebody has got a new relationship with you. I speak it in Jesus' name. Somebody has an anger spirit and I speak peace over their life right now in Jesus' name. Somebody has a promiscuous spirit and right now I speak, Lord Jesus, I speak that you just deliver them from that, Heavenly Father, right now in the name of Jesus. And whoever that is that's been skeptical of this ministry, whoever that is that's been skeptical of me, I speak freedom and I speak love and I speak gentleness and kindness and patience and self-control over their life right now in Jesus' name, because there is a move of God that is going on right now in this ministry right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you for every seed. Use it for your purpose and your glory. And I thank you right now. Satan, you're listening. And every seed that is given into this ministry, you take your filthy hands off of it. It will come into full manifestation right now in Jesus' name. You will not steal our seed. You will not steal our purpose. You will not steal our desire. And we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you have overcome. And everything the enemy does, Lord, you turn into good. And whatever he's seeking to kill, steal, and destroy, you said, take heart because you have overcome the world in Jesus' name. Lord, as we go on to work, and what in our daily lives, I speak protection. Lord, I speak that you cover us with your shield of protection, Lord. Use us for your purpose and glory. And let somebody see that we've got mountains removed from our lives. In Jesus' name, Lord, we love you and we thank you in the name of Jesus. You are doing something in this season. There is a shift. There is a moving of God that is going on. And I thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We love you and we thank you. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank y'all for tuning in with us. We'll be back next Sunday with a fresh word from God. But I'm going to challenge you, like this page, share this page, tell people about it. If you're on YouTube, forward this message to your coworkers, to your friends, to your cousin and them, and to everybody else, and just let them receive this word. I am Pastor Jeremy Glenn, thanking you for you spending the small segment of your Sunday. And I just want to thank you for allowing God to speak to you, to let you know to speak to your mountains. In Jesus' name, have a fantastic day, folks. We'll see you next week.